Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to HomebrewCon 2017. We are Dr. Homebrew, and we're taking over this little section of the Expo Center. And we're going to start judging some beers and talking about beers and, getting some feedback. So what do you think, Brian? Are you excited for this?
Who's going to give the feedback?
Not me. I'm going to pretend like I'm giving feedback.
Oh.
But say a lot of nonsensical words like balanced.
Where's Keith?
And toast. Keith? I don't know where Keith is. Keith couldn't make it out this year.
He was busy.
Yeah, so it's just you and me. I'm judging with you, which I've never done before. I've tried to do it, like in the studio, right?
Yes.
And then I just get distracted. I get a notification on Facebook, and then you lose me.
Sometimes we let JP judge, but yeah, he's got that millennial disease. You're like, easily distracted.
I am.
That's shiny true. Object.
Well, mainly because I hate judging. I hate it. I can't. I like the concept of it, and I talked a lot of garbage about judges on the show a long time ago, and I was like, you know what? To be fair, I should learn about what it takes to be a beer judge.
If you can't judge them, beat them.
Right. Uh-huh. If you can't beat them, judge them. And that's what
exactly.
So then I took the test and I passed it, and then I tried to do a couple rounds of judging, like the Sam Adams long shot competition, and I did one round to one flight of 12, and I was like, oh wow, that's really great. So they're like, okay, we're gonna have some food. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to skip out on the food, but I really appreciate it. And they're like, you're not going to stay for the second half? And I go, are you kidding me? The second half? I was beat after 12 beers. I'm like, I can't do this. This is not
for
me.
You finally infiltrated the ranks of the BJCP beer judging world.
Yeah.
But you couldn't follow through.
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't deliver.
I didn't have enough stamina. I did not have enough stamina to do the beer judging. So it gave me a whole new respect for beer judges and, people who can be planted for 5 hours tasting beers and
it does take stamina.
Arguing over the nuances of the beers.
Yes.
Before we get before we get to the beers, I do want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. They have a booth over there.
Over there somewhere.
You go over there and say hi to the gals. They're really nice people. They'll tell you about what it takes to clean and sanitize your home brewing equipment because, as we talk about almost every time on the show, Brian, you can't sanitize and then clean.
Yeah. No, and I do want to talk to them, too, because I've heard it, at one of the talks, I was saying, use distilled water when you're making your Star Sand in it.
Oh, really?
It won't get cloudy.
Huh.
And
okay.
It'll last longer if you plan on storing it and keep it. I've never done that. I just use my regular water. And I, Keith had said he does that, but I just thought he was being anal retentive. Keith,
Yeah. Well, he probably was.
Probably was, but actually it turns out there might be something to this. And I heard it in a talk here. Someone else was doing the same thing. So
okay.
I'm going to go chat them up a little bit later on.
Yeah, that's interesting. He was anal retentive by accident, I guess, and discovered something brand new.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it does cloud up pretty quick when I, with my crappy Livermore water.
It does, but, I never care about really storing it.
Yeah.
Especially when I was brewing a lot and had a lot of beer on tap, I would use the residual and keep it in a spray bottle and then spray under the taps.
Yeah, I always keep.
But I don't
spray
do that
bottle.
Anymore. So now I don't care. I guess when I'm serving it, it's like okay, I'm tasting it, well, so it's not too big of a deal. And I don't let beer sit too long, so it's not that bad.
Like you, I'm lazy though, and I want to make a pitcher of Star Sand and know that it's going to be okay for a while and sit there. And I'm sure it is. I think the effectiveness just goes down a little bit as it gets cloudier.
I think so too.
But
But I'd rather just mix it up again. That's just me.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to deal with storing it.
That's not hard to do. Yeah.
No, that's not hard to do.
Okay. So I'm still lazy, but okay.
but you're not going to have cloudy Star Sand.
I guess that's really
what we care about the most here on this show is how your Star Sand looks.
Yeah, it sounds like the minerals in your water will kind of slowly degrade it, but it's okay. No minerals, no degrading. It's just a combination of acids that knocks out those bugs. And
then
you got the PBW. You hear that around all the talks here too. Everybody uses the PBW.
That's true. When they came on the market, man, there's you can almost plot it on a graph. The shift of quality of beer.
Right. I used to just clean with hot water, and then it's like, oh, what's this PBW stuff? And then it's like, oh, yeah.
This actually works.
This is good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into a beer. So we have a very handsome gentleman to the left of us. Todd from Grog Tag is back in the studio, in the mobile studio here.
Thank you.
How you doing, man?
Good. Doing great, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for bringing your beer. You schlepped your beer all the way from Sacramento.
Barely made it.
Which is about an hour and a half away from us. 4 hours in a plane ride to bring us your you know, body temperature stout. And I appreciate it. Brown ale.
Yeah, brown ale.
Brown ale, yeah. You almost didn't make it.
I almost didn't make it.
What happened?
Caught a little bug, you know. It's like got a little too close to the kids, and they put a petri dish on my pillow or something. And
we want daddy to stay home. Let's cough on him.
Yeah, so we're trying to be proactive and get out of town, first flight, get organized, and, yeah, woke up about 2, just taking care of business. And, yeah.
Terrible.
I missed the flight. I think everyone is appreciative that I did not go on that plane. Ended up getting on a later plane and getting out here.
And you made it.
I did. And I literally, like, I'm glad, because I probably would have forgot the beer because of what was all going on. And
sure.
Then, yeah, sure enough, like, we're walking out the door. I'm like, shit, the beer. Like,
the beer.
I went, like, clean, get my cloudy star sand.
Yeah. The last thing you did was bottle the beer.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that you remembered, man, because we've threatened to have you on for a while now, have you back. And we're missing Steve.
Yeah.
But
he didn't
make
it this year.
That's all right.
So, he's got a same thing. You know, kids are trumping life and just kind of go through waves, and getting back here was a little hard this year for him. But
yeah, that's all right.
He's here with spirit. So
good. That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. Well, so you are the founder, I guess, owner of Grog
Tag. Steve and I, Steve and I are the co-founders of Grog Tag.
That's right. And you guys have been sponsoring the show for a long time as well.
I think so.
Yeah. So I appreciate that.
5 years, I think now. 4 or 5 years.
Something like that, man. It's been a long time. And so I really appreciate it, of course. And then, you know, one of the two people who is always on the show gets a $40 gift certificate to Grog Tag. So hopefully you won't win that. If you did, would you claim it?
Sure.
would you
donate to someone here, you know? You got a little raffle later or something. But, no, I mean, this is why the company was founded. Like, our tagline is, at least your beer will look good. Because there's so many different things that can happen along the way. We all try hard. We're trying different recipes. We're trying different cleaners or sanitizers. We forget to do one thing or the other thing. But at the end of the day, we're all enjoying it and having a good time. And if at one point I can upsell you on my beer because of how the presentation is, I'm going to go that route. So
I get it. It's a sales tactic. Hey, this label looks great. Then beer must be even better.
Well, seriously, you go buy a bottle of wine or an end cap of a beer, right? Like,
right.
You see 22 stacked. Like, what do you see? Like, you see all these brands, and it's very visual and tactile at first. And I just think it means a lot, especially in today's homebrewing environment. Like, and we try to emulate that, take professional, like, commercial grade printing, and apply that to getting a minimum order of 4 to 6 labels, and not have to order minimums of a lot to, you know, get a professional product. And
right.
And then we've taken it, associated to other, you know, reusable keg labels or, you know, coasters, bottle caps, and tap panels and things nowadays. So it's good to get the feedback here at NHC is phenomenal, or HBC now is great. We get so many good comments about our products that help us take them, re-engineer them, or bring new things, you know, year after year. So it's been a great ride, and and being partners with you guys like the BN, I can't tell you how many people come in. Well, it's actually only 2, but they come in and say, hey, thanks for sponsoring the BN. But no, seriously, we get a lot of people.
Because we tell them to.
I liked it better when you couldn't tell me how many. I felt really good. And then you told me how many, and I got really depressed.
I like that. I do like that when the tap handles came out, though. That's pretty cool. I want to order one of those. Definitely.
You can. I know where to go.
Yeah.
Want to make a kick your own ass ale tap handle.
Make a shitty beer and you have a gift certificate that you get one.
That'll be great.
Nice. Yeah, well, I will.
Speaking of shitty beers, let's
get into mine. Yeah,
let's get into Todd's beer, man. What style of beer is this, Todd?
This is an American brown ale.
Okay.
So I took this recipe came from my homebrew club, and I've tweaked on it a little bit, and it's been sort of a staple in the Fulton Brewing Farm. the wife and family and friends seem to love it.
Kids love it.
Yeah, it's great. And I think the first time it came out, it was actually on a brew day. We had a bunch of people over, and it got named Brownout because before and along it was arm wrestling, and there was people asleep at different places.
Your entire like circle of
I know
people.
It's like, well, that's not 6%. There's no way. And Six is like, yes, it's 6%. You're such a liar. Yeah.
It's really 4. I can drink more now.
The problem is you drank 27 of them.
Yes.
So,
it's like that 5-gallon keg is gone.
Anytime your family gathering devolves into arm wrestling, that's a good time.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
At least there wasn't any karaoke, huh?
That's true. That's true. All right, Brian, why don't you go ahead and start us off? And of course, since Keith isn't here, I'm the second judge.
Yeah.
Meaning Brian is 1.5
it
judges.
It didn't come with a grog tag on it, though. That might have helped me understand the beer better. You know, there's something about the branding. Sometimes you see a nice label on something, you want to drink that beer. If it's just like a ugly brown bottle like he brought, it's like, oh, we have to open that. Okay, yeah. All right. No, I like the brown out. That's a good one. It's got a pleasant sweet aroma, I thought, right up front. Nice solid chocolatey notes, real rich, like a kind of a medium milk chocolate, not like a rich roasty chocolate. This is a hint of some kind of toffee-like in there. The hops are just kind of medium low, not really big in there. Kind of a little bit of citrusy presence there. Moderate fruitiness, fruity esters, but it's in balance with the beer. Getting some obvious alcohol here. It does taste, if it's 6%, boy, it tastes a little more than that too. There is some of that going on. No diacetyl or DMS, no green apple-y acetaldehyde stuff in there. It's smooth, but again, it has like a little sharp edge to it, probably from the alcohol. Appearance wise, it's a nice dark brown. It's got a excellent clarity for such a dark beer. You can really see through the corners and some nice reddish highlights.
Yeah.
The head is tan. It started high and stood for a fair while after pouring. Mostly finer bubbles. I give it a perfect score for appearance. It looks like a brown ale should. So, rich chocolatey malt up front in the flavor. Some very light roastiness. I felt it was a bit kind of maybe brown porter-like, bordering on, way towards the richer side of American brown ale, especially with the malts and and the hops are dialed back, so that really does come through. The hop bitterness seems pretty low, but there's some bitterness in there to kind of balance it. But I'm getting more bitterness from the malt, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely balanced in the malt. The alcohol again is evident in the flavor. Although it was the first beer when I was judging, it was the first beer I had today. So after my coffee and
that's too bad, man.
Sometimes that alcohol can hit you a little hard on the first one. The first beer is always the hardest to judge. Now it's now that I got a healthy buzz on, it's tasting a little
it's
happier.
Better and better. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, probably would have helped Jimmy's score.
Yeah,
in the last show.
Finishes medium dry. That chocolate roast kind of comes through in the aftertaste. After that, just dries out. Get that nice little chocolatey note.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems very cleanly fermented. I like it. Medium light body. Maybe on a little lighter side, actually. Some warming in the back of the throat from the alcohol. It does definitely, I feel it back there a little bit. So it might not be alcohol level. There may be some higher alcohols in there pushing up the aroma of the alcohol and some of the mouthfeel that's carrying through a little more than I would expect it to for the style.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very creamy, but there's also no heavy astringency, with all the dark malts that are in here. It's not, and the flavor, it's not ashy and super acrid. It's just, it's rich and bold and has a roasty presence, but it's not unpleasant. So back to mouthfeel again. It's not super creamy, but it's not biting either. It's not attacking me like some might with too much roast or something in there. So
I feel like with this style, that's hard to do, is to not have it kind of over astringent from the dark malts and kind of rely on that body, right?
Yeah. Overall, pleasant American brown with good recipe. I think I'd like a little more sweetness in the finish, honestly, to balance out all the roast that is there, or maybe pull back the roast instead. But also the alcohol just needs a bit of adjustment there, too. It could be that there's some higher alcohols in there, got kicked out either early or late in fermentation, or if it was just, we'll talk about if you did do temperature control and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and how happy you keep your yeast. All those things come into play as far as that goes. But you could also dial back the roast just a touch. So, and if you wanted to go a different direction with it too, you could add some more late hops and make it a little toward the hoppier side. But I can tell you probably like it maltier and a little richer malt, darker malt flavors in there. So for what it is, I think it's good. It's leaning way towards kind of one side of the spectrum, and then the body's kind of light, and it kind of pulls that back, and that's all that's really shining in this beer. It's like the I think about a graphic equalizer sometimes, like there's this, it's like low, 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 and then sharp, sharp, It's like
nerd.
something a little more in the middle. I'm always talking about my graphic equalizer. Shut up now. I gave it a 34. I thought it was a very good beer.
Excellent. All right. Well, here you go, Todd. Are you ready? This is how you judge.
Got it.
It's me now. I didn't give you a donkey like I gave the last guy, so that's good. An overall impression.
Your stamina's good? You can get through this?
I'm good. I might. I don't know. We'll see. Like Brian was saying, I got a lot of the chocolate caramel in the aroma, kind of a low toast, medium hop, low fruit ester, which I thought was very nice, and it all seemed pretty much to style there. Appearance, I got that dark brown, some nice caramel, ruby highlights. That is very good color. I really like the color. The nice tan head that sticks around for a little bit and kind of fades away after time, because that's what they do. I did think the malt kind of needed a little more malt body, like Brian was saying, a little more sweetness to it.
The middle malts, yeah.
Yeah, the middle malts. Yeah, you do hit the specialty malts very well. That the chocolatey comes through. It's a touch astringent from the dark malts, I think. But I think that's just really because it's missing that backbone, the mid-palate malts to kind of carry those. So I wouldn't necessarily take those down at all. It's not a flaw in that way, but I think it is missing some of that, the mid structure, right?
Yeah, and even the lower, you can use a different base malt and get a totally different beer out of it. Like if you use an English Maris Otter instead of
that's
just
what I used. It's a Maris Otter.
Yeah, yeah.
If you used American, then...
Yeah. Yeah. American would be a little lighter, and that should express it.
So how can we do that? How can we help Todd fix this?
We can't help Todd.
Oh, okay.
We can make his beer look better.
Okay.
He can do that. No, it's
that's
good.
It's funny, actually. That's the best part, is how it looks. So
it looks great. You don't need to make it look better.
That's right. That's why it didn't come with a label.
Where did you land score-wise?
36.
Okay, yeah.
Is what I gave to him. But,
that's a good place for it.
So I get it, and like you said, it's kind of a recipe I tweak around with a little bit.
Yep.
I have an IPA on tap now, so I actually was moving. I tried to move a little bit away from having something a little bit better balanced with it, but I think, having I do temperature control fermentation, so it was probably around 66.
Okay,
cool.
Was how I was fermented at.
Which is very clear that was the case. It's very,
And you have a sensor down in the beer, or is it just in the space?
It's in the space.
Yeah.
And I actually have a thermal well in there that I've done testing, so I kind of know
where
it needs to be.
Yeah.
But it's also the pitch on this. I got my yeast from a local brewery. It's an American ale yeast that I use for this particular batch. So
okay.
I have had batches where it's been more malty, a lot more head, a lot more kind of thickness on your tongue. And then I've had some like this where it's more dry, a little more astringent.
Yeah.
I've kind of covered both spectrums on that recipe a little bit. Some by mistake, some by
right.
By trying to tweak on a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think just a little more sweetness would do a lot for it too. The middle malts, listen to JP there too and me. But
middle malt, like
sometimes just any crystals or darker crystals in there kind of are Munich or something to give a little more richness that's not roasty richness,
Yeah.
So how do we, because you said it's what, 6%?
Yeah.
So how do we get that sweetness up and that body up without raising the alcohol too much? Because that's...
You can mash a little higher. You could boost up the starting gravity, but you can mash a little higher, use a slightly less attenuative yeast. A lot of different things you could play with there.
That's the other thing I'm trying to remember. So I actually have a new brew system that my father-in-law and I built. It's all electric, and It's got a rim system, and I have had some sort of working through keeping the mash at temp. Okay. And I've always erred on the side of the lower end because I typically like them a little drier as far as for my taste than getting it too hot and having to try and get it down.
Yeah.
So in this case, I don't remember in particular. I didn't bring any notes from it, but it could have been that it was at like a lower 150 mark.
Okay.
Then maybe a 152 to 154 mash temp, which could have helped a little bit with that body.
I think that would have made a big difference. But it's very nice and drinkable as it is. It's just,
It's too drinkable, which is, it sounds like the rest of your family agrees.
The brown ale.
Yeah, you could drink a lot of that.
Yeah. do you have any questions, Todd, based on the feedback?
No.
That Brian gave specifically?
So the alcohol in particular, which I taste too, is that more so at the base malt or the middle malts would help with that, or
no, it would come from the yeast. Is there more? Was there any lag? Did it take right off, or was there any lag before it started? Do you remember?
I believe this got going
pretty well,
if I remember correctly. But if there's lag, sometimes you can get a little.
There's a lag and the yeast isn't quite happy there, sometimes it takes a while for it to get going. It'll kick out some different flavors. I imagine you oxygenate or aerate at least.
I did.
Just make your yeast as happy as possible. You're keeping the temperature stable, so that's not what's going on.
Yeah.
It could be something else that's just tricking me into think there's a little more of an alcohol presence there. But I don't know what else would give that. It's not super it burns all the way down. It's a light warming in the back, and it's 6%. You do get a little bit of that anyway, so it's not. I didn't feel like there's massive higher alcohols in this, just a little bit. So it also matters how you kind of treat the beer at the end, and if you let the. So what I find is when I'm doing my temp controller in my fermentation chamber, I'm just using a mini fridge, and I just have the sensor outside, kind of like you probably do. And if the temperature drops off, before the yeast kind of finishes out, the fermentation warms up, it's going, and then it just kind of stays the same, and then the yeast kind of peters out. I find I like to raise up the temperature at the very end, even though, just leaving it on the yeast for a while will get rid of the diacetyl, and you didn't find it that. But just, ramping it up a little bit at the end will help kind of clean up that last of the, keep the alcohol a little smoother and kind of smooth things out, make a smoother beer overall. But, you got rid of the diacetyl, and it's plenty dry, so it attenuated nicely. The yeast was happy and probably a pretty attenuative yeast. So, it might just be that particular yeast, and it was the first generation. Sometimes you get if you recycle your yeast and use it batch to batch, it'll smooth out a little bit on the second batch. Sometimes the first gen yeast that you just make from a packet and do a starter and put it in the beer right away, it'll be a little harsher sometimes the first time. It'll smooth out as it's happier. It keeps going from generation to generation.
Interesting.
So far, but
I've never done that. I'm just single pitch.
I usually pitch first and go, but. Anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good beer, Todd.
It's tasty.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before we let you go, what's happening at GrogTag? I know you guys are going to do the Homebrew Label Awards coming up soon.
Yeah. I mean, the focus has really been Homebrew Con.
Yeah.
And then we're ramping up for the third annual Homebrew Label Awards.
Okay.
So last year we kind of finished at Homebrew Con. We're adjusting the timing of it to roll right in with the AHA's Battle of the Bottle Label.
Awesome.
So it's going to – and the winners from the Homebrew Label Award competition roll in straight into that competition with the AHA, which is nice. But we've – it's a great program. Last year we had over $5,000 in swag from – our sponsors. So we're kind of going around this year doing the same thing, getting that lined up, and we'll be announcing the sponsors and everything. July 1st is kind of
July 1st. All right.
So, homebrewlabelawards.com. We'll have the whole, Facebook voting and
all the kind of fun stuff, man.
Yeah, and it's open to anyone. We do limit the prizes, obviously, to homebrew-specific stuff. We don't have any cash prizes, so we can try and keep people out of our space from coming in and trying just to win money.
Right.
So it's really homebrew-centric, and we see a lot of cool stuff. It doesn't have to be a GrogTag label either. It can be anything.
Anything you do.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we were founded on. It's GrogTag's just a vehicle. We really really are inspired by the artwork and what people create and kind of bring and share. That's what really makes it enjoyable for us, just like sharing, you know, beers amongst ourselves and talking about what we do differently and how we can improve. It's the same thing with like artwork and style and what everyone can bring.
You're keeping it fun and making it open for everybody. That, you know, it doesn't have to be about the money or being a graphic designer trying to win something big. You just bragging rights among your homebrewing friends.
Exactly.
I like it.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
We're going to take a break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Brian's brother, Jimmy, again. He has an American strong ale, I think.
He just happens to be another Cooper.
Just some dude.
Oh, wait. And some dude.
All right. This is Dr. Homebrew, everyone. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Guess what, homebrewers? The Homebrew Label Awards are back. Submit your artwork at homebrewlabelawards.com and let your homebrewing peers shower you with votes. The labels with the most votes can win fabulous prizes. Pretty easy, huh? This year, we're giving out over $5,000 worth of awards to the winners. So head on over to homebrewlabelawards.com and enter for your chance to win. No labels? No problem. You can check out all the cool labels being submitted and cast your vote on your favorite ones. Help your fellow homebrewers achieve fame and glory. That's homebrewlabelawards.com.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Have you seen what the free Brew Guru app can do for you? Built for homebrewers and beer lovers, Brew Guru delivers sage brewing knowledge and money-saving deals at breweries, beer bars, and homebrew supply shops. The American Homebrewers Association designed this powerful mobile app to help homebrewers and craft beer lovers explore the wide world of beer we all share. With Brew Guru, you can find deals and save money on beer, food, and brewing supplies. Level up your brew IQ with hand-picked articles, proven recipes, and trusted resources from the American Homebrewers Association and Zymergy Magazine. And use the brewery locator to find nearby breweries, tap rooms, beer bars, homebrew supply shops, and brew pubs. Wherever you are, Brew Guru will lead you to good beer. Get the app today and follow the path to beery enlightenment. It's free for iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. Learn more at homebrewersassociation.org.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the five-star solution. Visit fivestarchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019, 800-782-7019, and get the five-star treatment today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. We have Jimmy Cooper here.
Woo! Little, he is my brother.
Little abused brother to Brian.
Oh, yeah.
And what beer are you pouring us now, man? It looks delicious. What beer is this, Brian?
This is Jimmy's. It's a 22B American Strong Ale.
22B.
And
what are the commercial examples of this? Because I'm not very familiar with anything much over 5% in my life.
One of the classic examples and the particular inspiration, as I understand it, for this beer was Stone Arrogant Bastard.
Never heard of it.
It's a little brewery down in San Diego. They have a little garden and a nice little bistro.
Oh, that's cute.
A tiny little quaint place.
Just a very small local.
Yeah.
Okay, got
local.
It.
Well, yeah, I remember when they were really small. Boy,
that, yeah, for sure. So this is an Arrogant Bastard clone, Jimmy, or is it just an inspired by?
It's an attempt with the clone thing.
Okay.
Clone Wars, yes.
How do you think you did?
You know,
I haven't had an Arrogant Bastard in probably 10 years, so I can't tell you.
I've brewed this batch a few times, and other times I've compared it directly to Arrogant Bastard when possible. This current one, actually, I haven't, and I deviated from the original recipe, so I didn't, you know.
Okay.
Out of probably laziness again.
Okay. All right. How long have you been working on a recipe like this?
Oh, boy. When did we start brewing that?
Well, it was 2004. We did a beer called Kick Your Own Ass Ale.
Okay.
And it was an Arrogant Bastard clone. And
it was actually my inaugural brew. Brian got me brewing with all grain doing that.
Yeah, and we brewed that beer out of my back patio of my apartment at the time, and we wrote the Hoppy Beer Song, which has been occasionally featured on the Brewing Network. So
that's true.
It's kind of coming forth full circle here.
Borrowing liberally from sources such as Ren and Stimpy, Fish, and the Beverly Hillbillies theme song. So,
okay.
Just a random bastardization of something, as we homebrewers sometimes tend to do.
Right.
But in all, I would say I've brewed this one about 5 times, so not a lot. But
all right. And just making little tweaks on the way, again, like we do as homebrewers.
Yeah,
it's
one of my staples, too. I'll make a tweak one way or another, or sometimes just make it based on what I have around, like kind of approximate it.
Yep.
Rich, amber, hoppy, brew. So.
Okay.
And that's what happened this time. I didn't have access to the Crystal 160, so I subbed some 150 in it and a little bit more just for the hell of it.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Brian, let's start judging this beer, dude.
Okay. Jimmy's beer. It's always hard judging people's beer that either, A, are sitting right next to you, B, are related to you, or C, both, So. Okay, start with the aroma. This is the best aroma in a beer I've ever smelled. There you go.
Thank you.
I'm getting some medium low citrusy hops in there. I think that the hop character is a little bit lower than I would expect for the style, but it comes through with a little bit of citrusy, maybe grapefruit. There's definitely a bit of alcohol poking through there, too. But what I mostly get is this rich chocolatey malt. It's quite bold. Smells like it might be a bit aged and I'm not getting any oxidation though. It's like it's like when an Arrogant Bastard goes a little bit past its due date on the bottle. It has a little bit different aroma and flavor profile, and this beer kind of
is that what
to me has that.
Out of that. Okay.
But
what is that chain?
You know, it's
what
not to
that?
The point of papery or oxidized. It's just the malts start to, the flavors of the malts and the hops start to melt. The hops drop off. Okay. The malt comes out a little bit more, and some of the sharpness of the malt fades a little bit, so you get a little more sweetness as it ages.
Got it. Okay.
But it's not super sweet smelling either. It's just kind of, you do get some pretty rich malt, and it's not, it's just kind of the start of that. It's like when it gets really old, then it just gets, you know, kind of super rounded malt character, and it's, you know, no hops, and, you know, it's, that's a different animal, but this still has some balance to it. It seems like a very clean fermentation, low fruity esters. They're not really poking out. There's just a little kind of low, like maybe faint raisininess to it. Appearance-wise, it's a nice dark brown color. It's got it's a bit darker than expected, I would say. This can go to kind of light brown in color for the style. This one's kind of a medium brown, I think. That's like medium to dark brown. But it seems clear. It's got a low light tan head that sticks around pretty well. Has some fine bubbles, some mostly finer bubbles, some larger bubbles. And, it's still there. You can rouse it up as you go here. So it's fine as far as that goes. Flavor-wise, I actually like the flavor better than the aroma. Once I get into that, there's some bitterness there to balance it. Nice medium to medium high bitterness. There's some alcohol flavor. When I get it in the malt quality here, is, you know, there's some chocolate like in the aroma, but there's also a coffee like impression, which I kind of enjoy with it.
Okay.
And then there's also some kind of Maillard richness to it, the Maillard byproducts from, color reactions of malt formation, all that.
And what is that coffee? You think it's that just kind of the higher crystals with a little bit of aging
kind of can make that? Like you get from really dark crystal, you know, not to roast it, but a dark, rich crystal malt.
Okay.
Very dark. There's some of the chocolate, you know, lighter chocolate or chocolate malts will give you some of that same flavor too. I think I get a little bit of a light sherry like, but it's not oxidized or papery or anything like that. The hops are, you know, the flavor of hops is medium low, citrusy, grapefruit, a little bit of pine. Again, seems cleanly fermented. The balance is definitely the malt. Finishes medium dry, and it's got a nice malty aftertaste. Medium-bodied beer, medium carbonation on the mouthfeel. There's no astringency. There's definitely a low but evident warmth to it. It's you can feel it going down, but it's not harsh or biting or super hot. It's kind of, despite being a big arrogant beer, it's smooth and has some creaminess, a little bit of creaminess
yes,
to it still.
I'll agree with you.
So overall, I think, you know, it's just, I would definitely bump up the hops on this. You want this to be an arrogant, biting, you know, not biting, but hop-forward beer.
Right,
and
in
right
your
now,
face, aggressive.
It's malt-forward.
Yeah. Right, right.
You could use a little more, again, like that last beer, too, a little more of that middle malt character. The sweetness in the middle might not hurt it. It seems like it's all leaning towards the darker end of the rich caramel coffee-like and... a little bit of roast, a little bit of chocolate, but yeah, it's a little more than you sometimes get in those beers. So it's not a porter by any means, but it's still pretty rich and pretty big. And but it tastes kind of like I said, like an aged arrogant bastard ale, just with more dark malt. So yeah, you could bump up those hops, pull that back a little bit, and I think that would give it a better balance. It's held up pretty well. I think Jimmy will tell you about his I happen to know a little more about this beer, but he had some mishaps along the way, and as sometimes happens when you're learning how to keg. But, I gave the beer a 33. I thought it was in the very, very good range and a nice example of the style. So.
Okay. Well, I will. I'll be fast, and we can kind of get into a little bit about this beer. I agree with most of everything you said, Brian. Actually, everything you said. But medium high hop aroma. I did get kind of the resin, hop aromas
resiny,
that you can
yeah,
get.
Yeah,
yeah, which is really
good.
Cool. Also, some like dark melon, which I've never put those two words together, but it makes, for some reason, in my weird, disease-addled brain, it makes sense that there's like dark melon. Like a cantaloupe, but darker. I don't know. Caramelized cantaloupe? Is that a thing?
Maybe. You get to caramelize some and find out.
It is now.
I guess it is now.
Low fruity esters. The appearance, like you said, it was dark browns, very good. Light tan head, all that kind of stuff. A lot of caramel, a lot of toffee. Again, dark fruit, high hop. I thought it was kind of a high hop bitterness, but maybe not enough for the style. Again, I'm not super familiar.
But you're getting some bitterness
with how
from
this style is.
From the malts, too. Yeah, in this one.
Okay.
With it being that dark.
Okay. I thought it was fairly dry. The alcohol, you don't feel, it's not offensive, and I didn't really feel it here in the high throat so much, right in the empty stomach.
Oh.
That's where it kind of hits
there.
And just umbrellas. Yeah, and so that was fun. I thought that was pretty
good. It will continue to be fun as you finish that glass.
It's not a sensation I'm used to. Like, you know, I'm used to like 5%. Give me a lager. I mean, you know, so this is interesting for me. The mouthfeel, I thought it was very full body. It was very dry. It was almost like a barley wine in a sense that it had like a great kind of this toasty, malty, bready thing.
Dark barley wine.
Yeah, but that darker side of that, I thought it was really good. I gave it a 38.
I almost get a kind of a toasted marshmallowy effect.
Yeah, for sure.
Too. It's got that something in the edge of the malt. It has a little toastiness to it. Yeah.
I dropped a s'more in it when I was making it.
That's what it was.
At the campfire going.
So tell us a little bit about the beer. Brian was alluding to you had some problems.
Oh, well, the main problem was not paying attention to my CO2 on my kegerator.
Yeah.
I brewed this in towards the end of February, and I had it keg, you know, a few weeks after, and it, you know, I'm enjoying it for a while, but then basically I had a leak on one of my kegs, and
been
so
too busy.
After a while, I get running around, and then I go to get more, and it's going nowhere. So
that's a pain in the ass.
Beer comes out. Oh, sad day.
And so it's kind of during my busy season there, so until May came around, you know. But so it basically sat in the keg for a little longer than I would usually leave it. So that was kind of explains some of the mellow edge on the hops compared to how it should be when it's absolutely fresh.
Yeah. Well, and you had expressed to me that you were worried that it would have got some oxidation in there too, but I think with that closed system CO2, you know, the CO2 didn't come off of it. It just stayed
right.
Connected, and it ran out, but it's not like a bunch of oxygen somehow came into the tank and invaded your beer. It was still a closed system.
Correct.
So.
But it probably sat
fine there.
It probably sat for almost a month, you know, in that situation before I like, okay, and go all, get the CO2.
All that's going to do is, if you pour as much as you can, there's no CO2 pushing on it in the headspace. It's just going to lose a little bit of the carbonation.
Okay.
But then it'll come back as soon as you repressurize it and let it sit for a couple days. It'll be right back to where it was. So no harm, no foul, aside from a little age from it being neglected. Excuse the wild gesturing and bumping the mic.
Yeah, you are a hand talker. You talk with your hands. And that's all right. That's all right.
I could talk with my hands, but you wouldn't hear them.
Jimmy, do you have any questions for your brother before we move on?
Well, as far as the hopping, do you ever dry hop a batch like this? Because that's one thing I could experiment with.
Actually, I'm sorry. I see you have your recipe. Why don't you read your recipe?
Oh, it's real. It's
That'd
all,
be great.
All Chinook. It's 12.9 pounds of two-row. This one, I used 2 pounds of Crystal 150, and I used 4.5 pounds Special B. So then it was all Chinook hops all the way down. I had a 90-minute boil.
4.5 pounds of Special B?
No.
Oh, 0.45.
Four pounds of Special B.
Heart attack.
Hey, man, I love that stuff, man.
I think you got a typo
there. When I wake up in the morning, I get a little bowl of that Special B with
Special
some milk.
Special B cereal.
I
think it'd be great.
It's a Minnesota breakfast.
So 0.45 pound of Special B. Okay.
Yeah. 1.29 ounces of Chinook at 90 minutes, 1.21 ounces of Chinook at 15, 0.87 ounces of Chinook at 10, and 0.72 at flame out. So that was that. For this one, I used Safale US04. I just used 2 packs. I didn't have time to make a starter. So.
Sure.
But it took right off.
Yeah.
No problem. I don't have fermentation control, but it was pretty cold in February, so
You're pretty set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that 150 crystal is pretty dark for this beer too. Like going back to a 120 might be better, but I see that your original recipe had a 160 in it too, which would have been even richer. How about as an English special dark crystal? So.
Yep.
Maybe that's a little smoother. I'm not really familiar with that one.
I think they're smoother, but I think that they're more robust in its crystallicity.
And my mash was about 147, so.
Yeah, it dries out pretty well. You got good attenuation and didn't leave a lot of dextrins in the beer.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty dry. It's pretty dry.
Yeah.
So what about his dry hopping question? Would you dry hop something like this?
I would dry hop something like this, but I'd pull back the darkest malt first. You know, maybe go to the 120 and dry hop it a little bit just to give it an accent. I honestly don't know whether Arrogant Bastard is dry hopped or not.
I don't doubt it.
I don't think it is, yeah.
It's probably more of those late hop.
They just get it all from the late hop whirlpool, and that's all they get.
Yeah.
Do you do any of that, Jimmy? I'm sorry.
I would definitely be open to dry hopping this one.
No, I mean like the late hop. Like, did we talk about your hop additions?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
All Chinook. And
it's all Chinook all the way, starting at 90 minutes.
But a lot up front and not as much late. So you could
hit the time. So you had 90 minutes, 90 minutes 15, for, 10, and 0.
Yeah, so okay. 1.29 at 90, 1.21 ounces at 15, and then,
0.72
right, flame out.
Would you up those late hop additions to kind of boost that hoppiness that you want, the bitterness?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to help.
Or the hop flavor, I guess.
You know, if you don't have a way to whirlpool it, just kind of do a spoon whirlpool for 5 minutes or something. Just get those last hops in there. And
that's what I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spin them around a bit. You know, you can go up to a couple ounces there. It's not going to hurt you or add too much more bitterness.
Very good.
Yep.
What was the yeast on that one?
Sapphire.
USO4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, just too bad.
Good choice. Brian, you all right with that choice?
Yeah.
All right.
It worked fine.
Yeah, all typically right. Before I've used the dry English ale yeast. But this, you know, there again, I was kind of screwing around with what I had on that day when I found the time to brew. And it's like, well, let's just see what this does. And that's what it does.
There you go.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. That's the only way to learn, man.
Yep. Make good beer. I could drink a lot of that. I think it's a very, very good beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Well, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Right,
I appreciate you not only coming on the show, but bringing some beers.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And you guys are going to play us out, right?
Yeah.
All right.
You have you're both guitar players. You have very fancy guitars, by the way. They're almost matching. Look at you guys.
We're nerds. Hey.
One's green and the other's...
Well, these are both Jimmy's guitars.
Oh, they are. Okay.
There's that.
What is it? It's a metal...
Resonator.
A resonator. All right.
Is that
like a... non-battery powered speaker?
It's basically trying to achieve loudness without electricity.
Okay.
Should we give away a grog tag though?
Jimmy, you get the grog tag.
Jimmy wins the grog tag.
Nice work. $40. At least your beer will look good.
All right.
Well, before you guys jump into it, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, for coming by the booth and saying hi to us. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to everybody putting on Homebrew Con, the Homebrew Association, for having us here and doing these live shows, man. It's been a blast. And thank you, Brian. It's good to do some work with you outside of the studio.
Thanks, JP and Justin. Good seeing you guys here, man.
And we miss Keith.
Justin running the board.
But,
Keith.
Whatever. All right, so what song are we going to hear from you guys?
Well, this is the song that was inspired by the beer. It's called the Hoppy Beer Song.
All right. So take us away, folks.
All right. This is a song about beer. I like beer so much I brew my own. And it goes a little something like this. I drank a beer. I wrote a song. And I knew it sure as hell would have been. Until I fell right on the floor, and then I had to drink some more. Beer was good, it's understood that I am drunk and feeling good. Memos is going to my brain. Unleash the ale till I'm insane. See what else here, big boy.
Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer, hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer, hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer, hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer, beer.
I don't think you're drunk enough.
Maybe you should drink some more of that kick your own ass ale.
Oh, that stuff over there? Woo.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Well, I'm on my own when I'm at home. I boil that word until it foams.
so much hops. It pops with weed. They call the cops, except not in California. You got a beer. You got a glass. Just like kicking your own ass. It makes me feel so goddamn stoned. Like I got 47 chromosomes. The foot connected to my leg. It kicks my butt and shoots my head. I must have drank too much hot beer. My ass, it hurts so bad as a beer.
Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer. Hoppy, hoppy, beer, beer, beer.
Yeehaw! Get drunk, get drunk, get drunk, get drunk, get drunk. Get drunk, 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 drunk, drunk.
One more time with us, yeah.
Hoppy,
beer, beer.
Hoppy,
beer.
Hoppy,
beer, beer.
Hoppy,
beer.
Hoppy,
beer.
Hoppy.
Hoppy, 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 hoppy.
Oh, we're gonna end it now? Hoppy, 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 beer, beer, beer.
All right. Do we match up to the...